1960, many of us received the ashes with the words, "Repent and believe in the gospel." And we should look for ways to repent and improve or change how we act with others and how we act with God. We might or should try to be more prayerful and reflect in our relationship with God and how we can be closer to Him. Officially, the Church says there are two purposes for Lent. For some, it is a time to prepare for baptism, confirmation, and the Holy Eucharist at the Easter Vigil. It is a time for us who are baptized to renew the promises made by us or on our behalf by our parents at our baptism. The vows, the baptismal vows, are really the things we say we believe in or reject. Like, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And do you reject sin so as to live in the freedom of God's children? So during Lent, we try to freshen up our beliefs and improve how we live our faith. And then we hear these readings today from the second Sunday of Lent about Abram and the Lord and the animals cut in two and the transfiguration. How do they fit into what we think we are doing in Lent? Our time of preparing. Or maybe it's our time to give up or sacrifice something like chips or Diet Coke. And if that doesn't get us into heaven, I don't know what will. The fantastic details in the readings are interesting to hear, but I think we have to ask why the two theophanies, appearances of God, are presented to us today. We might have to read them a few times, or, as I did in my case, 8 times, to get the big picture of the readings. In the first reading, the Lord tells Abram and his descendants that his descendants will be as many as the stars, and Abram believes the Lord. For his belief in the Lord's word, he is seen as righteous in the Lord's eyes. But Abram doesn't seem to believe the Lord when he tells Abram that the land will be his. Next, we hear of the strange covenant ritual of sacrificing animals and a smoking fire pot passing between the animal parts in the darkness. It says that Abram fell into a deep sleep. In the gospel, Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but they managed to stay awake. And we're probably thinking, what an odd time to fall asleep. But it seems in the Bible, falling into a deep sleep means God is about to do something, usually something big. In Abram's case, God was about to seal the deal, or the covenant he made with Abram about his descendants possessing the land. Back then, in a way to confirm or agree to a deal was to walk between pieces of a sacrificial animal. It was a vow to be faithful. And it meant that if one party didn't live up to the vow, what had happened to the animals would happen to them. It was God's covenant, and he made the vow using the fire pot and the burning torch. In answer to Abram's question, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" Later on, God delivered on what he said about Abram's descendants. His wife, Sarah, in her old age, had a son, Isaac. And today, we know God's words to Abram have come true. His descendants are not physical descendants, they are descendants in faith. He's considered to be the father in faith of Jews, Christians, and Muslims. So if we think about it, this reading tells us Abram stayed faithful to what God promised would come later. We don't hear the word covenant in the gospel reading, but Peter, James, and John were shown in a wonderful way what God was going to do, whether they understood it or not. And apparently they did not understand it. The disciples kept silent and told no one of the things they had seen. I don't think that's how you spread the word. Yes, they had seen a vision of Moses and Elijah, but they disappeared while Jesus remained. And they saw a shine in Jesus' face and his clothes dazzling white, biblical signs of divinity. On the mountain, what God let Peter and the others see was a glimpse of Jesus' glory. And his glory was more than a change in his face and dazzling clothes. His glory centered on his exodus, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. His exodus was his passion, his death, and his resurrection. It was about his leaving this world and entering into a heavenly place. The voice from the cloud was speaking to Peter, James, and John, not to Jesus, when it said, "This is my son, my chosen, listen to him." They must have listened, but they didn't understand at that time. It was only later when they would see Jesus' death on the cross and then see him after his resurrection that they would come to know what Jesus' glory really is. And we know Peter, James, and John as apostles. They pass down to us our faith in Christ's resurrection, a faith in a resurrection that we can look forward to, trust in, and believe in. God told Abram that what he promised to him and in what Abram believed would come about. At the transfiguration of Christ, God gave us, in the persons of Peter, James, and John, a preview of what will come about. Lent is a time to renew our faith, to renew our belief in Christ's glory. It will be our glory too. Paul says Jesus Christ will transform our body, that it will be conformed to his body in his glory. Can we believe him? Or are we like Abram asking, "O Lord, how am I to know that I will be conformed to Christ's body?" Paul told the Philippians, "Join in imitating me." He is imitating Christ, and it is for us to join Paul in imitating Christ during this Lenten season when we try to repent or transform ourselves to be more Christ-like. I think if we look again to these readings, we can see that they are fitting for today because they're about believing in God's promises to us. And that happens when we stand firm in the Lord.